RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
The world's heavyweight champion, the Crusher!
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
And welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. And we're your weekly source for performance information, questions, comments, smart remarks. Or listen, if you have a topic you'd like us to investigate or look into, let us know. First off, we answer every single email and message we get. And second, you know, we may dedicate a segment or an entire episode to your idea. We did it a couple times last year, so I want to thank all those listeners who do send us ideas and things they want us to look into. You can reach us at crushperformance.com. That's Crush with a K. You can also subscribe to our newsletter and podcast there and get all the links to human performance. And on the social media platforms, Twitter at Jeff Crush. And for Instagram, Facebook, and our cool new YouTube channel, you can search Crush Performance. Well, today we continue with our overlying themes for 2019 as we delve down into what it really takes to reach your potential. The themes for 2019 are organizational performance. What does it look like to have an organization that really performs well? We're going to look at some of the greatest businesses, teams, and franchises out there to try to figure out what makes them tick so we can take it home and help our organizations operate better. But we're also going to look at the individuals that make those organizations work, because at the end of the day, that's the key to success. The individuals, the people inside the organizations from the top down and also from the bottom up. It goes both ways. We got to have quality people. And once we have those quality people in place, we got to make sure they have the resources they need in order to be successful. And if I were to ask you a simple question, everybody, just stop and think about this one for a second. What are the two most precious commodities on the market today? And I'm not talking the financial market. No, this isn't gold bullion or diamonds or copper. It's not hard currency. It's not the British pound or the American dollar. The two most precious commodities on the market today are your health and your time. And listen, if we're going to maximize those, we better be doing things right for the most part on a day-to-day basis. And that's why goal setting, intention, deliberate practice, deliberate work is so important, but also taking care of the human being. Rest, recovery, recuperation, and sleep, priorities number one, and nutrition. Nutrition, hydration, number two. Today, I'm really, really excited. We are going to talk to Ricky Ng from Revive Wellness, performance dietitian, who's now back from a really, really cool experience. He had a chance to go down and work in the southern states, in one of the most competitive, high-performance settings you can ever imagine. We're going to talk to Ricky about that. We're also going to talk to him about what does good nutrition and performance nutrition look like? How is it different from everyday nutrition? Is it different from everyday nutrition? We're also going to get into the idea of where you come from, your culture, and the region you come from. How does that influence what you eat and what you might talk to a dietitian or what you should be programming to eat? It does make a big difference. And also the use of supplements. We've got to get to that today while we have Ricky on the air, because if there is ever a dark, dangerous gray area in the nutrition world, it's the supplement world. Very, very unregulated. How do you wade through it? How do you pick what you should be using and what should you be using? What's priority number one? We're going to get to all that and more as we talk performance nutrition today on Crush Performance. Ricky Ng, performance dietitian, coming up right after this, everybody. Stick around.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here, the con man. We're your weekly source for performance information. If you want to get in touch with us, please do so. Reach out. Crushperformance.com is the website. Subscribe to our newsletter. get our podcasts and get all the links to the world of human performance as we try to keep you on the cutting edge each week and every couple weeks through our newsletter on everything that's going on in terms of personal performance, organizational performance, and everything you need to know to tap into your potential. You know, one of the things we always talk about is the idea of potential. What exactly is that? I think one of the problems that we're seeing right now across the board, professional right down to grassroots, is everybody wants to be good right now. And I'm not saying you can't be good right now, but I'm saying don't be good right now at the expense of truly being great down the road. We get caught up in all these shiny ideas and fads and just being number one that we might lose sight sometimes of the process of development, whether it's inside of an organization or whether it's for you personally. Just keep that in mind. Again, our theme here in 2019, our overlying themes for 2019 here at Crush Performance is going to be organizational performance. And we know if an organization is going to be successful, we've got to keep our eye on the prize. And that is the people that are making the organization operate. We see it in the most successful sporting franchises. We also see it in the most successful businesses or schools or orchestras or bands. We see this everywhere human beings are working together to achieve goals and outcomes. There is a true focus on individual performance inside of the successful organizations. And it's very important to understand how that works. We need to make sure that our people are in the right place at the right time in terms of their development and in terms of the organization. But we also need to make sure that we have those people surrounded by the people they need to be around. And that doesn't necessarily always mean friends and buddies and easygoing, happy relationships. Sometimes we need to be challenged. Now, don't get me wrong, you cannot have a dysfunctional workforce, but you also have to make sure that the people are being challenged to not only tap into their potential, but to work together to move the organization forward. Well, inside of that, of course, our priorities for human performance are rest, recovery, regeneration. It's usually maybe the last thing we try to consider, but I'm challenging everybody to make it number one. Build all of your work, all of your intensity, all your volume around the quality rest and recovery you can get on any day, week, month, year. Build it backwards from there. If you do that, I promise you better outcomes. There's no question about it. And then, of course, nutrition. And that brings us to the topic today. I am very, very happy to bring onto the air Ricky Ng, performance dietitian. Ricky, so glad to have you on the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff.
Well, we're pretty excited to have you on the show. This year, 2019, is a big year for Crush Performance. We're going into our 14th year on the air. And each year, Ricky, we kind of have some overlying themes where we spend a little more time in the whole picture of our annual programming. And this year, we're talking about organizational performance and our top priorities for performance inside of sport and inside of business. I mean, pretty much anywhere humans are trying to achieve. Rest and recovery and sleep, number one, and of course, nutrition, a quick second. And so we're really, really glad to have you on today.
No, I'm excited to be here and really talking about how nutrition falls within that pillar of performance and how everything is intertwined at the end of the day. So it's really looking at how everything is just interconnected and how the athletes can really reap the benefits from having everything in place.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our moms were right, weren't they? You are what you eat, mister. You are what you eat. And, you know, I hear my mom's voice echoing in my head all the time.
There's some truth to that, eh?
Yeah, there really is. There really is. And I think, you know, if you look back on those, you know, kind words of advice and that sort of guidance along the way, there's a lot to it. Ricky, you've been through a very interesting career path. For our listeners today, I think I'd really like to share this because I'm really intrigued about your last little adventure here. Maybe take us through your development and how you got into the world of performance nutrition as a performance dietitian.
Right on. So it's been about 6 years in the making here. So I graduated from the University of Alberta with a Bachelor of Science in Nutrition and Food Science there. And from there, has always been really interested in the athletic realm, looking at athlete development. I think when when we're new grads, we're always trying to find what really draws your interest, what you're passionate about. And I was lucky enough to have a rotation down at the Canadian Sport Institute in Calgary, which really opened up my perspective on sport nutrition and just how far you can dive into working with an athlete, coaching an athlete up. And from there, I joined the team over at Revive Wellness. They were willing to take me on, take the risk of hiring me on as a brand new dietitian, and really helped to foster my growth. And after working there for about a good 4 or 5 years, ended up taking an opportunity to go down and start pursuing my grad studies, my master's. And I ended up at the University of Southern Mississippi, not a place that I thought I would ever end up, but it was an incredible experience to go down, really experience the sport culture there down south, and really looking to see how athletes operate down there. And they do put out a lot of very, very high caliber football athletes, and just seeing the training environment there, just seeing how these guys fueled and what their upbringing and what they've been exposed to. And for some athletes, it's looking at the lack of knowledge that they have when they first show up, simply because of the environment that they've been brought up in, and to no fault of their own. And then you get other athletes that are very to the nines, that their knowledge just blows you away. And I think social media has a huge role to play in that nowadays too. And then, so after working there for about wrapped up a semester there, our director of strength and conditioning ended up moving to the University of Kansas, took over the football team there as the head strength coach. And I had an opportunity to go down and join him. And this time, instead of pursuing grad school, was working at a full-time capacity as their sport dietitian. And have spent the last year there and really, really got to learn about the team, really got to learn about then the off season and just the training demands, just to see how hard these guys train, just to be within in that environment and being able to experience team travel and just really getting to witness the full meal deal with football, and just seeing some of our guys are about to experience their pro day. One of our guys ended up being picked to go to the combine, and so really, really amazing to see these guys develop, and just how far, really looking forward to how far they can go with their careers there. And I recently came back to Revive Wellness and diving right back into the private practice side of things, and really taking on athletes and working with athletes at a different capacity now, more individualized work, and really diving into their programming and really diving into the coaching side of things. And there's a lot of things that I learned about good coaching, and there's a lot of things that I learned about ineffective coaching. And really, those are the aspects that I'm really trying to fine tune and really trying to introduce to my athletes, and really seeing how much further that we can dive into the sport nutrition world.
Sure. Well, the NCAA collegiate environment is high-performance sport. There's no question about it. I mean, if you look at where these players are coming from, why they're playing, they're all playing to win, but they're also looking to move forward in their careers, and that is the breeding ground for the NFL for sure. So great, great experience there, Ricky. You know, one of the things you mentioned there is the power of social media and the messages that athletes are getting. There is such an array of misinformation out there. Sometimes it's very, very difficult to decipher what's right, what's wrong, what's marketing and what's actually legitimate. And I think that's where guidance and having experts around is so important for athletes at every single level of sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with social media, there's no barrier. Anybody can put anything up, and I've seen athletes crash because they're following what appears to be right on social media there, because it's something that they look up to. And oftentimes the celebrities, and it's the athletes that they really look up to, and they really try to follow that trend. But oftentimes behind the scenes, that's not actually what's going on with the athlete. And so they're sometimes in a way portraying a very, very different visual. And it's unfortunate, but at the same time, it's a good learning experience for our athletes to understand what works, what doesn't work, because even in the world of nutrition, there's no one-size-fits-all approach.
Right. And it's so true. We're talking with Ricky Ng, performance dietitian from Revive Wellness. Ricky, you know, one of the great guides out there, of course, American and Canadian food guides have been established to help families and people understand which way to go in terms of their food choices. And whether it's working or not, I think if we look at the waistlines and the diabetes and all the issues we're seeing in terms of our health, it hasn't been quite effective. Well, north of the border in Canada, there's been a massive, massive change to their food guide. We're going to be delving into this later this month, but I kind of like some of the ideas that they're working towards. You know, they're looking to new science, they're trying to send great messages, and they're revamping their entire platform. And I think one of the biggest changes is they're getting away from the food groups, and they're just sort of guiding people into how to fill up their plates, which is, I think, a great approach. Any impressions right now in terms of the food guide in general and some of the changes that we might be seeing here as we analyze it a bit more?
Yeah, it's still pretty fresh off the press here. And first initial impressions when I've seen some of the pictures come out on the plate distribution, that's one that really resonated with me. That's something that we talk to athletes about, and really the transition over into looking at distributions, seeing how much of the varying food groups should appear on a plate. I think it really helps to reinforce some of the messages that we're trying to relay out to athletes from a practicality standpoint when they're trying to maneuver through day-to-day nutrition. Some of our athletes in the college level, they've got all the foods presented right in front of them, but distribution is where sometimes it can hinder them. It can hurt them. It can hurt their performance. And oftentimes what I mention to athletes is food can work for you, but food can very well work against you. And it's a matter of being very intuitive and really knowing distribution is the first step. And I think this is a good first place to start. There's definitely some fine tuning that can be done. But at the same time, as a first step and as a visual, it does hit the distribution there in a very, very good light. And so it's a starting point.
It is. And I think it's a good move here as we move forward, in maybe for the greatest reason, or maybe the biggest reason, is the fact that now we're getting back into the news, talking to people and raising the awareness about how important good nutrition is and how easy it can be if you just get the basics down, right?
Yeah, that's a good first step. That's a really good first step. Even with the introduction of the emphasis on more plant-based protein, that is definitely something that we see a lot of athletes moving into the direction of. But again, with these food guides, you're trying to target as many people as you can. And so there's always going to be fine-tuning involved based on distributions. But again, it's where you start off.
We're talking with Ricky Ng, performance dietitian from Revive Wellness. Ricky, well, let's talk about the sporting world. Whether we're talking about the weekend warrior who's serious about their personal bests, whether we're talking about developing athletes who are, you know, working their way through the ranks to either get a college scholarship, a travel team, or maybe a pro contract. The sporting world's a little bit different when it comes to nutrition, but we kind of have to use the same principles. It can be very, very complicated if we let it become complicated. But if we don't have the basic principles down, nothing else really matters. Does that make sense?
Right, right. Yep. And oftentimes, you often see an overcomplication and to a degree, sometimes an oversimplification in nutrition. And again, there's always that gray area. So nutrition is one of those areas where it's not so black and white. And so it's really looking within that context. What applies to this athlete within the season, within this cycle that they're training in? And so it dives a lot deeper into that. A lot of athletes, it's really looking to see, okay, within this training season, these are your goals. Maybe body composition improvement is going to be a focus for you. Maybe coach needs you to lean down. Maybe during the off season, you let yourself go a little bit too far. And so now during the in season, your plate distribution or even your focus on nutrition is going to look very different than somebody else who's in the same phase of the training program, but their goals are different. Their body, maybe body composition is not such a big focus for them. And so there is a lot of individualization, and it's all within context.
I really like
the
that.
Individual itself.
Yeah, for sure. And I really like that, Ricky, because, you know, when we look at the holistic approach to athlete performance and athlete development, one, Sure, let's just take football, for example. You're coming back from Kansas, a huge, huge football state. Mississippi, you know, there's a football state for sure. But you're coming back from these performance environments. These guys get into football. So the sport needs to be considered, especially during the season, but also then individual and the individual goals. So I like this multi, prong approach to human performance, because we talk about the same thing on the coaching side. We talk about the same thing on the strength and conditioning side. And now we have nutrition and psychology and all these other areas aligned for the individual and what's happening in terms of the team goals and objectives. Now we can really work some magic, but nutrition is such a huge, huge part of the puzzle. And it changes over the course of the season, as you mentioned, and also individual to individual. I think that's what a lot of people have to understand when they start chasing down, as you mentioned, following these celebrity diets. You have to be careful, and maybe that's one of the big gray areas out there.
Yep, absolutely. You can take things too far, and I have seen it firsthand with athletes where they do crash and burn. And especially, for example, during the off-season, there's a lot of running involved, and this is very high-intensity work that's involved. And often guys are training twice a day. And I've seen athletes where they restrict so heavily that they end up showing up fatigued. They end up showing up extremely lethargic. And as a result, over 3-4 weeks of training, you see really no improvements. They keep falling behind. They're usually the last ones to finish, and they're having a hard time keeping up with the training load. And as a result, because they don't develop that base at the start of the off season, when you're starting to move towards the latter part of the off season, then you really start to see this athlete dwindle. They're not able to perform at their true athletic potential there. And so that's why when we have rookies come in, when we have new guys that have been recruited coming in, one of our first steps to really understand the importance of nutrition, the individualization pieces, we do have to do body composition assessments just to establish that baseline. We do talk to their coaches to really get a collective vision on what their goals are. And we do roundtable meetings where you've got the strength and conditioning coach, you got the ATs, you got the position coaches, the dietitian that are working together to really address the goal at hand from a development perspective. And for all of us, we're able to roll out and give our shed our expertise towards how we can support this athlete to make sure that they're moving in the right direction. That way the athlete is getting the same consistent messaging. And I think that's a really key point to drill into our athletes and to drill into any team that I'm working with, is that if everybody's on different pages on a nutrition piece, strength and conditioning, regardless of what it is, then the only person that really suffers at the end of the day is that athlete, because they're new, they're coming in, and they're being told 5-6 different things. That's extremely convoluted, when really unified messaging is what we're looking for. And that's going to really help to build success and build the confidence of the athlete up, especially when they're coming in so young.
Yeah, well, I like the idea of consistent messaging. That's such an important part, and it has to come from all angles, right? People only know what they know. And I think that's one of the reasons, Ricky, that we see such an emphasis on skill and the physical development side of sport. And I'm talking for the recreational athlete. I'm talking for the young developing athlete and even our pro guys, because that's something that they're familiar with, maybe a little more comfortable with. If you're not familiar or if you don't know a lot about something, you tend to stay away from it. And I think that's one of the problems we've had with nutrition. And we're slowly starting, I think, to crest that hill with all the information out there. And of course, the expertise of people like you. But would you agree with that kind of a theory or statement?
Yeah. I think nowadays with nutrition, there's always that all or none approach without looking at the individuals. Because sometimes if you take that all or none approach, you might lose the athlete. And I have seen cases where when you take that type of extreme with an athlete who's not ready for it, or that's not their style of coaching, in a way, you've lost them automatically for the rest of the season. And it's going to take a lot of work to build that relationship back up. And so that's something that I'm really, I think as practitioners, it's part of that concept called conscious coaching. It's really realizing who you have in front of you and understanding what they're ready for, what they're not ready for. And when they're coming into your intake, and whether it be recreational athletes or athletes at the college or pro level, everybody still starts off at a different point. I've seen pro guys where their nutrition knowledge is far less than some of my 15 and 16 year old athletes, simply because of exposure to no fault of their own. It just hasn't been high priority, or they just haven't had the right resources to work with. And so at that point in time, you're starting them off with some very, very basic skills. And really, in a way, you're trying to rewire sometimes the way they think about nutrition, the way they look at nutrition. And really, a lot of it is experimenting. A lot of it is trial and error, building up that relationship first, building up that trust with the athlete so that you can take on these little nutrition experiments throughout the season and see what works for the individual and see what doesn't work for the individual.
Yeah, I love it. There's no doubt about it. It has to, at some point, come down to the individual. And when you address the individual, that's where things get really, really powerful. Hey, listen, everybody, we got to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about your background, your culture, where you came from. How important is that in terms of your diet and the nutrition that you seek? We'll talk supplements, and we'll also look at some easy tips that you can use right now to improve your nutrition and your performance right after this with performance dietitian Ricky Ng. Stick around.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. Thanks for sticking around over the break. Today, we are talking performance nutrition with performance dietitian Ricky Ng. If you have any questions, comments, or smart remarks, do get to us. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush, and for other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and our very cool YouTube channel, just plug Crush Performance into the search bar. Okay, getting back to it. Ricky, we just came off of a fantastic conversation talking about addressing the individual, which is critically important. And inside of that, though, there's something very interesting. You just came back from a great, great experience in college football in Southern Mississippi. All right. Now, the food down there is very, very different. It is great, great food. There's no question about that. But it's very different than, let's say, the Northeast or the Northwest even, or even the West Coast. It's a very, very different type of food. So we see nutritional influences not only regionally, but culturally as well. Take our international athletes, our athletes from South America or Mexico. Very, very different diets and nutrition plans. But it all has to be taken into context, doesn't it?
Yeah, they call it soul food for a reason, Jeff. And that food is incredible. And really, when it comes down to it, it's very simple cooking. And it's very high-calorie cooking. And with these kids, it's a reminder of home, especially when they're leaving home for the first time, going to college. And really, I've seen as well where you can create the best environment on a nutrition standpoint where you're really putting in energy-dense foods that you know are going to work for the athlete, but because they're very unfamiliar to it, it throws their palate off. And at the end of the day, it's not something that appeals to them. And so that's why in a lot of training centers and in a lot of fueling stations, you really got to work to find that happy medium. And so you really got to make sure that they're comfortable coming in and they feel like this is a safe place for them to have food that will work for them. And food is really one of those things where it's emotional to a lot of athletes. There's an emotional connection. It's a taste of home when you're able to roll in, let's say, even a Southern day. And for a lot of these kids, you see how excited they are when they are coming back into the fueling station and they see a lot of food that they recognize, and it really puts them at ease. There's a lot of transitions when they first arrive on campus. And so if food is one of those things that we can really help to manage and reduce stress with, then there's still something to be said about being able to get some of these foods. And yeah, that may not be the best 7 days a week, but one night a week, two nights a week, there's nothing wrong with that, especially if it really, really grounds them. And really, if they're staying at the training center and eating with the rest of the team as opposed to just showing up and seeing food that they really don't enjoy and they're taking off elsewhere, then you lose a lot of that team dynamic.
Good point. We're talking with Ricky Ng, performance dietitian. Ricky, a bunch of great points there. How important is it for young athletes to be able to cook? Because I think this is a skill as well. I really do like the team atmosphere and getting the teams together, but they're not always together and they're not always eating at the team facility. There are times when they're back at their dorms or at their apartments, and if there's an opportunity to cook, man, we try to jump on it for sure. And it's such a great, great skill to have. And I think it also gives athletes and even students and regular people a better appreciation of what whole good foods look like.
Yeah, cooking is intimidating for a lot of athletes, and I'm 100% with you in really trying to develop that skill set as early as possible. And when we have athletes that are coming in house, one of our first steps is really having a variety of blenders and a variety of ingredients that are ready to go for the athlete to use. And for me, that's even a good first step is teaching. I've had, and this will blow your mind too, I've had athletes with that have showed up, and these are brand new rookies, and they didn't even realize that you need to put a lid on a blender before you blended anything up. And that's a level of knowledge. That's the level of athlete that we're getting in from a cooking and preparation standpoint. They're very, very green, and we don't want them. Our goal is to really make sure that we develop that skill set. Again, build confidence behind it, make sure that whatever skills that we're able to teach them is very simple. And there are oftentimes batch cooking strategies, because in college there's not a whole lot of time between games, between training, between hitting classes and tutoring. There's a lot of things that are on their plate. And so, but it's also recognizing that there's a lot of programs too that will try to over-service and will try to do everything for the athlete. Mm-hmm. And in a way, you see these athletes leave and they've developed no skill set. And so that's the other thing too, is the awareness of being able to service athletes, but without over-servicing them, without overdoing things for them, and recognizing that, hey, this is a developmental hub, and we want you to be able to fly away from this nest having these essential skills, essential tools, so that you know you can trust yourself. You know you have a skill set that you've developed over time. You've been coached to be able to execute nutrition in a way where you understand what's going into your body, and you can understand how to prepare it and understand how to maneuver a grocery store when you're off on your own.
Well, the grocery store is another maze, isn't it? You got to really understand the strategy in the market and the psychology they put into when it comes to those grocery stores. You have to tread carefully in those places because they'll get you. They've gotten me many, many times, Ricky.
They get me too, Jeff. and I do this 6-7 days a week. And so there's more products coming out every day. And really, there's what I've noticed even recently is an abundance of athletes that are coming in with gut issues from food. And it's really being able to acknowledge. And I think right now there's a lot more research, a lot more exposure into GI issues with athletes. And that's why when we get back into that simplified message of within context and what works for the athletes, there's foods that you and I will be able to eat. But then another athlete comes in and takes in the exact same meal, and now they're running to the bathroom because they're not able to tolerate it. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with even the growing market of foods nowadays, is that there's so many different foods that you can pick from, and sometimes it becomes confusing. But really, when push comes to shove, and what we're trying to do is find what works for the individual athlete. That way, no matter what grocery store they go to, they know this is what I need to pick up, and making it as simple as that. And that's really how I operate with athletes from a travel nutrition perspective, is when you're going into a new place. Oftentimes with our athletes, they're traveling within the U.S. So a lot of the grocery stores are very, very similar. It's knowing that when you're traveling, you're going in, you know exactly what you're picking up because you know that works for you.
Yeah.
And we're just fine-tuning portion sizes. We're fine-tuning distribution, but there should be no confusion whatsoever. So you might see a lot of products, but at the same time, you know you're going to snipe out what product that you know is going to work for you because it's been tried, it's been tested.
Yeah, I like it. We're talking with Ricky Ng, performance dietitian, and I like this idea of going in prepared, going into your with your shopping list, knowing what you're going to need. Maybe it's because of recipes, maybe it's because of your daily diet or your competitive schedule, but having that list and knowing what you're going to be doing when you get in there is great. You know, just coming off the holiday season, it is a Crushell family tradition. I have three daughters, and to get those girls into the mall to shop for mom and get out of there in a reasonable time frame, it's almost impossible. So years and years and years ago, I started this whole philosophy. We don't shop, we buy, man. We go in with a list. We have a map of the mall, which stores we're going to, and we get in and out as quickly as possible, like shopping ninjas. And I kind of like that idea for nutrition as well, because it's so easy to get distracted now in the stores.
I love that. And it's the same philosophy here. I often tell our football guys, you're not going to go into a game without a game plan. You've studied the routes. You know the plays. It's the same thing with nutrition. You know what's going to work for you, but you also have to discover what doesn't work for you, what's ineffective. And that way you can start to fine tune. And before you know it, you've got a very well-rounded toolkit of tools that you've polished and that you've been able to utilize over time, and you've been able to sharpen over time, and you have a lot of nutrition confidence in what you're taking in as fuels, because you know it's not going to disrupt you. You know you perform well from doing it, and it's been tried, and we've been able to hone in on a selected group of foods that will work for you and where you'll be performing at a very elite level every single game.
Yeah, I agree. And then, you know, that goes for the professional elite athlete. It goes for the weekend warrior as well. You can impact performance on the job site, one, to help you feel better and perform better, but also to keep you safe. We know for a fact that athletes who eat properly have a lower risk of injury. On the work site, it's the same issue. On the job, you perform better. So there's many, many applications or implications here.
Yeah, there's a lot of athletes that are training underfueled and are training fatigued. And part of my intake of clients, too, is not just athletes, but I've got a lot of individuals that are working office jobs. And same thing, they're showing up to work fatigued, underfueled. And again, some of the stuff is just what they've read on Instagram about fasting. Fasting isn't for everybody. You have to look at the schedule. You have to look at when you wake up. You have to look at when you go to bed. And for some people, like, they start to introduce it and they have a complete crash. They become extremely unproductive and they hit the wall. No different than the athletes. You don't want to show up with no gas in the gas tank. That's what it comes down to, is if you're showing up with no gas in the gas tank and you're just trying to push through training, you're just trying to get through training, training's not going to be enjoyable over time because you're going to plateau. You're not going to see a whole lot of return. You're not going to adapt to that training program that your coach is trying to put you through. And at the end of the day, it's just going to be extremely disappointing. And it can be very unmotivating for a lot of athletes over time. And athletics is such a mental game. And so you really want to build on top of that as much as you can. And nutrition is just one of those ways that we can really mitigate that.
Yeah, I like it. There's many implications here. An athlete who has an understanding about their nutrition and the power of nutrition in terms of their performance, it can be a psychological weapon as well, because you have ownership, you have some control, you have a better understanding of maybe the ebb and flow of your daily feelings and daily performance. So, so powerful, Ricky. It all comes down to, I think, something, an overlying theme here, you know, that we've had here in this discussion, is just balance. Understanding the balance and when that balance maybe needs to be adjusted a little bit. But when it comes down to it, the end of the day, if we look at day-to-day nutrition, whether you're in competition or off-season or training, balance is just a big, big part of it.
Yeah, every day, whether it be, like you said, even if it's a training day or it's an off day, you're really still looking to create some sort of balance at the end of the day to make sure that you're hitting what you need to hit and you're able to have that intuition to know how to adjust. Kind of going back to what we were talking about, the plate distribution, knowing how to adjust from a very basic plate to a moderate or even hard training day plate. The U.S. Olympic Committee has actually, they've had the plate model that's been set up for quite some time now, for a easy day training, moderate day training, and a hard day training. And with that hard day training, it's athletes who are training twice a day. And so for athletes, everybody's eating. But really, it's the athletes that can understand how to redistribute to create that balance for a day where they're burning more energy so that they can catch up to that burn, And for athletes that, let's say, might their goal might be to improve body composition, so they have to create a calorie deficit. So again, it's knowing how to readjust that distribution with the foods that are presented in front of them that will really allow them to see success in the long run.
Great. We're talking with Ricky Ng, performance dietitian from Revive Wellness. Ricky, before we let you go here, there's one other area that I just want to touch on so everybody's at least thinking about it or aware of it anyway. It's very, very difficult to eat properly every single day. There's so many things going on in the life of an athlete, whether they're recreational, serious recreational, competitive, or world-class elite. Eating is a big, big job. And to eat properly, the number of times a day that we're requiring some of our athletes is very difficult. Supplements play a role. So before we go here, I'd really like to shed some light on here, because if there's a dark, gray, dangerous industry on this planet, the supplement world might be one of the top ones in terms of concerns and misinformation out there. So just in terms of supplements, Ricky, what's your stance on supplements? How do you guys use them? And what's some good advice for our listeners out there?
Ultimately, Jeff, it's food first beyond anything else. And yes, I have athletes where if I have clients coming in, that is the first thing that I will say to them is we can introduce all the supplements we want, but if your food foundation is completely off, then we're trying to build a house on a very, very rocky, a very, very unstable foundation. That's why we have to build that food first foundation. Let's lock that in. Let's make sure that it's a very, very solidified foundation. It's strong. And then from there, for athletes, we can work with supplements on top of that. And it's really looking to make sure that the supplements that we're using is going to be free of banned substances. And so these products have to be NSF or informed choice approved and really following a batch testing system to make sure that whatever product that they're taking in, if they do get drug tested, that they have grounds to stand on. And there's way too many athletes out there that are just randomly pulling supplements off the shelves. And as a result, they can get popped. They can test positive. It's unintentional, but at the end of the day, they haven't done due diligence into researching their product. And so at the end of the day, they're faced with any sort of penalty, whether it be a fine, whether it be a ban from whatever sport that they're in. It happens all the time. And so our job is really to look at, from a supplement perspective, if you have a really good nutrition foundation now where you're able to, where you know you're hitting what you need to hit on a daily basis from a timing volume perspective and being able to adjust any adjustments that need to be made for a training day, then from there we look at supplements the same way. What is the dose? What is the amount that we have to take? What's the loading phase that we have to take it for? What do I have to pair the supplement up with from a food perspective to maximize absorption? And there's a huge placebo effect to supplements as well. That's why I'm really big on educating the athlete about what it's going to be doing for you, instead of just randomly pulling a product off the shelf and just saying, here you go, good luck, take it, and let's just hope for the best. And they've done studies on athletes where they've done caffeine trials and a placebo group, because they were told that they were taking caffeine, even though they weren't, they were told that they were, they still performed and behaved like the group that was dosed with the caffeine supplement. There is the power of placebo that happens, and that happens through education with the athlete and really making sure that they're in tune with what they're putting into their body.
Oh, great stuff, Ricky Ng. Absolutely love it. Food first. Let's just establish that bedrock in which performance can really, really prosper and go from there. Ricky, listen, great, great conversation today. If people have questions or if they want to get in touch with you or reach out to you, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can reach out to us over at Revive Wellness. We've got our site up, Revive Wellness, and we've got a variety of dietitians who are able to work with clients who have different needs. And so my area of focus is primarily sport nutrition and working with athletes there. We got individuals that work, other dietitians that focus on GI, gut health, metabolic conditions. We got a variety, and the beauty of having this team is everybody is able to roll to really learn as much as they can about what they're passionate about, and really becoming specialists in the field, and really being able to counsel very differently based on whoever that they have in front of them. And so if we have an intake of clients coming in, we're going to make sure that we match them best to the dietitian who has the right skill set to be able to support them.
Great stuff. Revivewellness.ca is the website. Ricky Ng, thanks so much today. Appreciate this conversation, my good man. Great, great stuff for everybody out there. We'll look forward to talking very, very soon.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. It's been great.
And there you go. Performance nutrition from performance dietitian Ricky Ng. I love Ricky. So glad he's back in the area. He had a great experience down south working in the college high performance world, and that is high performance sports. And the schools he went to are very, very serious about what they do, and that is winning. Let's get it straight. College sport is about winning, and they know the value of nutrition. And if you look at some of the athletic budgets that we're seeing in the schools down south in the U.S., they're dedicating a lot of time, effort, and resources into feeding those athletes properly. Some of them have great programs, and I really do like this sort of shift towards educating, helping with life skills, getting the athletes cooking or understanding what they're eating and why and when. Very good. And also another very important part of that conversation, something we'll be discussing more and more this year on Crush Performance, is the use of supplements. And Ricky said it best. Food first. Your performance diet has to start with good whole foods. And then you can fill in the gaps and the holes with good, safe, and quality supplements. Supplements are exactly, they are what they say they are. They're supplements. A supplement to a good, well-rounded diet. Can't thank Ricky Ng enough for the conversation today. And I also want to thank you all for listening. An important conversation. Again, our themes this year in 2019 for Crush Performance. We're going to be spending a lot of time talking about organizational performance and what does that look like. We're going to be looking at some of the best companies, sporting teams, franchises, and we're going to try to dig down deep and get inside them to better understand how they operate and what we can take away to help our organizations operate better. But we know for a fact that the individuals, the people inside of those organizations are what makes them tick. And what are the keys to human performance? Step by step, getting down to the bedrock. Number one, rest, recovery, sleep. That is number one. Number two, nutrition, hydration. And then when we come to sport, we have a few different priorities than we may have with a business or a construction company or a tech company. But it all comes down to the health, wellness, and functional abilities of the individuals inside the organization for injury prevention, for top performance, and for career longevity. That's what it's all about. A great discussion today on nutrition. So coming up in the next few weeks, of course, the Super Bowl. We're going to be talking about the NFL and the high-performance world of contact sports. A lot of things to talk about there. And as we head into February, the Crush War on Sugar will continue. We're going to look at some of the new, cool, innovative technology that's allowing us to train our athletes better from a cognitive and mental standpoint. There are some really, really cool things going on out there. And of course, we will continue our discussion on recovery, sleep, and regeneration. That's all coming up in the next month on Crush Performance. And again, if you have any questions, comments, or smart remarks, crushperformance.com. Go there, let us know. And if you have an idea or a topic you'd like us to investigate, get to us there, crushperformance.com. We may dedicate a segment or an entire episode to your idea. Love to hear from you. We answer every message we get. Okay, everybody, that'll wrap it up for today. Now get out there, get better, and we'll talk to you next week on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
When you put the wrong team in, or when you make an egregious mistake like that, then, you know, that's, to me, when it's this egregious, when it's this clear, and you don't do anything about it, this is like stealing. And I'm not exaggerating with that. I don't mean it that it was done on purpose. I don't mean it that it was done in any conspiratorial way. I mean it as it was a complete collapse of a process that now needs to be changed. I have said, and many of you have heard me talk about it, that because of technology, you know, people have said, officiating's getting worse and worse. I got to tell you, officiating's not getting worse. Officiating is getting more exposed because of modern technology. We can see the flawed calls and the mistakes that are taking place.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.